got more hit and burn pens in my house.
My wife's like, this isn't good on my taxes. I'm like, I know, I probably should have.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to welcome you this evening to City Council meeting. This is a work meeting this night on April the 30th, 2025, and it is 5:30 p.m. This meeting is being held at the Council Chambers, City Office 10 North Main Street in Cedar City. We're honored once again to have, and I don't know whether, can't remember whether it's Reverend Pastor, real good guy, Bob Sharp with us again this evening to offer the invocation, after which we'll ask Mr. Melling to lead us in the pledge.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm honored to be here.
Reverend, could you get that mic just a little bit closer to you? There you go.
There you go. How's that? Okay. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. In the city of our God, his holy mountain, beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth, the city of the great king, God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. For this God is our God. Forever and ever, he will be our guide, even to the end. Amen. Heavenly Father, hear our prayer and let your blessings rest upon us. You have given us this good city as our heritage. Grant that we remember your generosity and constantly do your will. Bless our city with honest industry, truthful education, and an honorable way of life. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and every evil course of action. Grant that we who came from many different places may become a people united in the grace you grant to all believers on account of your only Son, our Lord Jesus. As we continue to celebrate his victory over death and the tomb, fill us with joy and thankfulness that you have provided everything necessary for everlasting life with you. Support us in defending our liberty, and give the spirit of godly wisdom to those entrusted with the authority of government, that there may be justice and righteousness and peace in our city. When times are prosperous, grant us the thankful hearts, and in troubled times, let not our trust in you falter. Watch over the police, the firefighters, and all first responders. Keep them safe in their duties. Help them to properly discern the needs of citizens and act compassionately and indiscriminately toward all, while giving special attention, as you ask, for the widows and the children. Bless all city workers, that their industry not be in vain, but always reflect the love you have first shown to us in your only begotten Son. Continue to bless the earth. Make it fruitful, bringing forth in abundance all that is necessary for the support of our families. Prosper the work of the farmers and ranchers who labor to bring food to our tables. Open the storehouses of heaven to grant them seasonable weather, that they may gather in abundance and give thanks for your generosity. Watch over the travelers within our gates and the citizens. Grant them wisdom in parenthood. Bless our children with a spirit of respect for authority and learning. Bring peace to our schools, from the earliest grade teachers and students to those at the university. Bless all teachers with a spirit of curiosity and clarity in accomplishing their duties. Bring peace and security to the youngest and oldest among us. We invite your Holy Spirit into our midst tonight, in this fair city and in this meeting of its council. We ask that you bless and consecrate the voices that will speak tonight and the decisions reached by council. Keep the mayor the staff, and the council secure in your protection and at rest under your healing hand. Keep all eyes turned upward to receive your blessings with thanksgiving. May you be glorified in all that is taken up, and may all tonight's decisions reflect your glory to all our citizens, to all of Iron County, and the entire region. For you live and reign with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much. And Ron.
Mayor, we have an agenda before us tonight, April 30th. I move that we approve the work meeting agenda.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Just a reminder that next Tuesday and Wednesday is the opportunity for the staff to come and visit with the council on their budgets. So we'll start. I think we're starting at noon, 1 o'clock.
1 to 5 both days, right?
1 to 5 both days.
Okay.
Okay. No problems. Good. That's all I have, council members.
Mayor, I just have a few calendaring things. Want to remind everyone that the Spring Fiesta is this Friday, from 5 until 10 p.m. along Center Street and 100 West. They'll be closing the street along Center Street at 12 noon. And it'll be a great celebration of all things Latin America and our great diversity of community we have here. And there's some great talent lined up, and there's games and bounce houses and loteria bingo and all kinds of fun stuff. Then also just want to remind council and staff that the airport ribbon cutting is this coming Monday, May the 5th. They have their first official flight out tomorrow in the new hold room. I was out there today. They're doing a lot of last-minute little touch-ups and buffing and things like that. But
no, we've been done for a couple weeks.
Well, you have. They haven't, but you have. But it's looking very nice, very nice, a great addition to our airport. And then I just would like to clarify, Renan, can you tell us the meeting schedule for May? I just want to make sure that I have the dates, because aren't we skipping one meeting in May?
The last one.
Okay, thank you.
So we'll keep going 3 more weeks straight, and then we'll be off for a week.
Okay. And that's why we're here tonight, right?
That's right.
Make up for the one.
That's why we're here on the 30th.
Okay, thank you.
For a work meeting.
That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay.
Other? I don't know if anyone reached out to you guys about the YouTube being on kid mode. We're on that. So if someone, you can respond and let them know that we're taking care of that, or someone will.
Texted Aaron. He says that every public meeting that broadcaster YouTube is set on kid mode. YouTube does it intentionally. Otherwise, you have to go through and manage your content individually every single time. We would prefer not to do that.
What's kid mode?
It allows you, it disallows some searching and
so certain
hyperlinks
kids can't watch
and
certain
so,
YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
exactly.
So we can go back and tell them that we do this so that we don't have to record it and play it later, so it's live. Is that the...
I mean, we've got to respond back to this citizen.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the easiest way to explain it. Otherwise, there are a number of setting changes and manual stuff we'd have to do regardless if we wanted to. If that's what the council wants, we can talk to Aaron and see how easily that could be done. But it sounds like it's a bit more manually intensive.
So would you have to do that every meeting? Or
don't know.
Or just once?
I know this surprises you, but I am not cool enough to have my own YouTube channel. So I don't know that. We'd have to ask Aaron.
So maybe before we respond, let's research what the options are.
We can explore what that would mean.
And then come back and see if we have a solution.
And sure. Maybe that we still can't, but let's explore what that really entails.
Yeah, and we can see what we can find out.
Great.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. So essentially what you're saying is you can't see it if you're in kid mode.
No, you can see it. You just, read you the email. But
there's no comments.
Right. You can't see the comments. You can't see hyperlinks if they did put them in the comments.
Oh.
You can't click on a hyperlink. Anyway, it just limits
your ability to really participate in the meeting.
Gotcha.
If you're watching it online.
But it's not like we have anybody here reading the comments as they come in.
Correct.
Live
so it was just a comment.
Well, nor would we be able to broadcast some of the comments that get posted on
probably
live.
Because it would be kid approved.
Well, if we could find out, that'd be great.
Yes.
Youth Council, anything tonight? Staff?
Putting out good, flags tomorrow.
Good to go. Public comments tonight. If you have an item on the agenda, you can talk then. Otherwise, if it's not on the agenda, you can talk now. Thank you. Don't see any. Item number one.
Jeremy, I make
questions. Yeah, that's what it's about.
Tom Jett, if I were to provide a banner to celebrate Mother's Day, would I be able to possibly get the city support to hang it on Main Street? It'd be city approved, just a Mother's Day, and maybe do a proclamation for Mother's Day for the last week of May.
We're on Main Street.
Well, we're just one of the
like the Main Street Park, or where
just
are you thinking?
Someplace
Tom?
On one of the wires that hang across.
Ooh.
Every time we've tried to put a banner across Main Street, the wind has torn it to shreds.
Okay.
That's why we don't do it.
I get it.
And the banner guys say you cut these little smiley faces in them, let the wind through, and it doesn't
okay.
work.
If you're interested, I mean, I'm sure that you could do something in the Main Street Park. I mean, thousands of cars go by that park every single day.
If the city would support something like that, and possibly a proclamation for Mother's Day, we do lots of proclamations here, but to celebrate the very important lady in our life.
Tom, Mother's Day is, the second weekend of May?
It's next weekend.
May 10th, I think.
Is it next weekend? I thought it was the third week.
Yeah. You better update your calendar, buddy.
Oh, so boy. You've got to get moving on that. We can do it.
I'll see if I can arrange that then.
We could do it next week. Well, could we do it at next week's meeting if it isn't on the agenda this week? A resolution?
We could probably do a proclamation without...
Proclamation, I mean.
Without having to go through a public...
And I'll see if I can get a banner done. I thought it was the third week.
Nope.
Okay.
It's always the same.
One of my
Sunday.
Sponsors let me down, so I'm taking it on myself. So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. Item number one, public hearing to consider an ordinance vacating a public right-of-way and public utility easement located approximately 2500 North Main Street.
Good evening. Daryl Brown, Watson Engineering. Our client is wanting to do a minor lot subdivision through here.
Can you show where we are here?
It's just south of Terrible's.
Yep, so Terrible's is just north, just right up here. You've got the intersection here.
Okay. The LDS Church is there, right?
Right across the street here, yep. Yes, that is correct.
Yep.
So, this hatched area is the existing 20-foot public utility easement. UDOT, some time ago, quitclaimed a portion of the existing Main Street right-of-way to the adjacent property owners. So, with that, we are wanting to vacate the existing public utility easement and move it along the new right-of-way line along Main Street. My understanding is there are no conflicts with existing utilities. There's nothing in the right of way, in the public utility easement. Now, there is an overhead power line that runs along Main Street, but it does not run along or within the existing public utility easement. There's probably a portion of it that does cross the PUE, but it does not run within the existing PUE.
So I guess I get the public utility easement part of it, but so is there a right-of-way we're also vacating?
Yes, so down here in this corner.
That little teeny...
Oh, okay, I'm like, wait a second. Okay.
Yep. So there was this little odd-shaped piece. So this radius right here was the original radius for this intersection, and then UDOT came and quit claimed a portion of the right-of-way, which then created this oddly shaped piece of land.
So that, and when we vacate something, it just goes back to the landowner, right? So they would just gain that piece?
Typically, by default, it'll just go to the adjacent owner, since nobody else would be able to use it.
Gotcha. Well, what's staff's thoughts on this?
Is that right where the road is? Right where the turn is? They're on Canyon? Pretty close.
Yeah, so this is the intersection.
Okay. I'm going to zoom out. From there on to Main.
Yep, yeah. On to Main Street.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is something that as staff, as we looked at it, we're fully on board with. We would rather have the public utility easement be adjacent to the right-of-way line. So they are proposing as part of their minor lot subdivision, dedicating public utility easement along the right-of-way line. This, that is, back where the right-of-way line previously was, really serves no purpose for us. You know, it would be different if there were existing utilities in it, but since there aren't, it doesn't serve a purpose for us. So, we're certainly in favor of this action.
So this is just vacating it, though. This does not create the new easement.
Correct, but it is the vacation of this easement is contingent upon creating the new one. Yeah. So it'll wait until they actually create the new one.
Okay. Do we next week, if and when, or when we make a motion, does we have to include that, or is that automatically?
It's already here. So if you vote to approve the ordinance as drafted, it'll include two contingencies. That's one. The second one is, because I'm a paranoid kind of person, if they go in and find a utility hidden in there that nobody's aware of, they would be required to move it at their expense.
Okay.
We don't think there is, but you never know.
Correct.
Because if we don't do this, you're essentially going to have a certain number of feet of nothing and then the PUE.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, it doesn't benefit us or his clients. It doesn't do any good to have it there. We'd rather have it out closer to the street.
Okay. Okay, throw it on action.
Okay, it's a public hearing.
No.
I'll open the public hearing. Is there anyone here that would like to speak to that? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. We'll put it on
action
for next week. Thank you. Item number two, a public hearing to consider a resolution approving a development agreement related to access, fencing, and fencing setback requirements for the property located in the vicinity of 800 North, 3700 West. Mr. Schmidt.
Thank you. Phil Schmidt representing this. This has been talked about for a little while, so I just, if there's any questions.
I guess the only question I would have, because I looked back at this and read through the development agreement, do we have any issues with setbacks? Because the way I understand it, the wall that will be created is right at the road.
It's right on the
property line. I mean the property line.
On the property line. So that's, yeah. And then the reason we did this is without this, we can't put a wall there according to the current ordinances. So we asked to do this, and working with Randall, also the thing that this does is allows the fence, and it also stops any access from going from
right.
This property
I recognize
into,
that.
The,
yeah.
Into the development. So
now, does this allow them, either a tenant or the owner, whether that be current or future, to put, because I mean, I'm assuming with it being an industrial type use and kind of knowing what's going to be going there, that there's going to be some expensive material on the other side of the fence. Is there any plans to put barbed wire or anything on top of the block fence?
I don't know that.
I hope not.
Well, I'm just, do we want to put this in there that says nothing can go on top of this wall?
I don't think so.
Because they could just build a fence inside of it if they
were concerned. Yeah, exactly.
So what
exactly.
Does it do?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's...
Yeah, this is actually where we're actually asking to spend more money than we really have to.
Correct. Right. But correct. You're doing that for the citizens, and I understand that. I just want to make sure it didn't interfere with any future road improvements they might want to do on their side of the property.
That's currently a 66-foot road easement,
okay.
And so we're behind that.
There's okay.
Plenty of room.
I'm fine.
I'll open the public hearing now. Is there anyone here to speak to this? Seeing no one, put that on action.
I guess I do have that. I still have a question, though. Randall, in our city ordinance, could somebody do that on their own? Like, if I had a commercial property, could I put additional on top of the fence that we already have?
No, I mean, once you're, in this case, we're already granting them 2 more feet than anybody else can have.
Right.
So no, they couldn't put additional fence on it. The other thing I would note is technically barbed wire is not allowed.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway, but yeah, so if they wanted to do anything else, they'd have to come back in, get your approval to amend this, because this is already allowing more than the ordinance allows.
Gotcha.
I would note, this is the first time we've had one of these without 6 people in the public hearing saying how amazing Mr. Schmidt is. Just figured I'd let you know if you hadn't noticed in all the hearings that kept happening.
Nice neighborhood. Thank you. Item number 3, consider resolution appointing Johnny, and I don't know how to pronounce the middle name.
Johnny O.
Cedar City's honorary ambassador to Kepyeong City, Republic of Korea. Thank you for coming. We've been working on this for a while, and we're going to go celebrate.
We're going to go celebrate. With that, Mayor, just quickly about myself, I'm Johnny O. Jonghun is the Korean.
One more time, you just ran over that.
Jonghun.
Jonghun.
Yeah, that means handsome in Korean.
Oh, of course it does. Of course it does. Like any of us would know if that's a liar. Yeah. Of course that does.
I'm honored to be here with you tonight. I'm what you might call a grateful transplant. I'm now a proud resident of Cedar City for the past 20 years. And I currently serve as a professor and administrator at SUU. And I've also had a privilege of being appointed as Cedar City's Special Economic Business Development Ambassador. With that, I help introduce Cedar City, Iron County, to Korean businesses might be interested in setting up shop here and making sure they have a soft landing and also strong connections, local connections. And I also had, for the past 20 years, I've had a privilege of being a bridge between Cedar City and Kepyeong, Korea, and helping develop a meaningful sister city relationship rooted in a historical educational and cultural exchange. With that, we're getting ready to, like Mayor said, we are getting ready to go with our delegation to Korea to commemorate our 74th anniversary of the Battle of Kepyeong. 240 young men from our very own 213 Battalion, AKA Triple Deuce. They fought bravely, and miraculously, they all came home. And so their courage helped turn the tide of Korean War. And that's a legacy we carry deeply with respect. I'm honored to be considered as a Cedar City's ambassadors to honorary ambassador to Kepyeong, and thank you for your time. And with that, I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Johnny, can you tell me, is your role as the Special Economic Development Ambassador that you've been appointed to, do you work with our current Cedar City Iron County Economic Development Director?
Yes.
So you're working hand in hand with
David? Yes, I am.
On projects and potential relocations, expansions, whatever it might be?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
So, Mayor, who all, I mean, I know some of it's personal, some of it's for the city. Who, I mean, as far as the delegation, as far as the city is concerned, yourself, Mr. O.
I thought you would never ask.
Is there anybody else representing Cedar City that's going on the trip?
No.
Okay.
I'm the only one. You were going.
I know, but didn't work out, unfortunately.
There are several of my family members. There's representatives from the National Guard that are going. There are business leaders in the community that are going. New ones, seems like, are coming to the forefront just today. There's the Mark Peterson coming from the BYU. He's in charge of Korean studies there. There are people there who will be involved. There's just a resident friend of mine who is going. Of course, Johnny's going. A Brad Taylor, a Nate Sargent, Jared Hansen, Alan Bolt. There's people hearing about it and wanting to jump in. It'll be a pretty good celebration.
And as far as on our end, everybody's paying their own. Yeah. Really, everybody's paying for their own trip. And
I don't know whether some of these business leaders are being paid by their business. I don't know. Some of them are going there to try and encourage business relationships.
I mean, but to the city's
expense. As far
expense,
as the city's
we have no expense.
There's no money.
So
I had a couple more questions I'd like to
yes,
ask.
Yes, Scott.
And perhaps this falls maybe more on the mayor than yourself, but to my knowledge, is this the first honorary ambassador we've had as a city?
No, I think we've had him before. When Miley before, was right. went with President, you were
that
designated
was,
the
not
same
ambassador
way.
As yeah. a special economic business development. Well, I guess that's ambassador too. But that's
well, we're all in the business of ambassadorship, right?
Yeah, we all are. Yes.
And so my other question is this during the term of office? Is this 5 years? Is this 2 years? Is this ongoing? I'm just trying to figure out the logistics of if you are an honorary ambassador, is it a lifetime appointment?
Let's leave him there till we find somebody else.
No, I'm excited about it, actually. I think it's a wonderful honor, and I think it's a great honor for our city to have someone as fine as Johnny representing us to our sister city in Korea. I just didn't know the logistics of how this all worked.
I do not know.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess it's up to you.
Okay.
Yep. He's stuck until we decide we're done.
I'm happy to serve in any capacity with this role, however long you could... as long as I'm contributing.
Then I just have one last question. Since this is the 74th
yes.
anniversary, does this go back and forth? Or I mean, next year is the 75th, and I would assume we'd want to do something pretty special for the 75th anniversary.
It is, because not only is a 75th is a great number, round-up number, as well as our triple deuce.
Uh-huh.
It's a centennial celebration.
Oh, wow.
So
will we be doing the celebration here next year, or are we going to go back over there?
Both,
okay.
Yes, definitely involving triple dues. We'd love to have in different battery, Fillmore, Beaver, St. George, and Richville, and Cedar.
So do they send delegations from Gapyeong to here from time to time?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, they came not too long ago and did that big commemoration of the
yes.
Monument of the Rock and everything.
Right.
Well, I want to put my oar in here real quick just to tell you, we have an American 250 celebration committee because in 2025, 26 is America's 250th anniversary.
That's right.
And this is a very important part of this is our military.
That's right.
So let's see if we can't work together on something pretty special for the centennial and the 75th anniversary.
Thank you.
So let's work on that.
I appreciate that. Thanks for that. And
Sounds like you might need to ask for find a new committee member to be on your 250.
Well, he's got to bring some money with him.
$250.
Pitch in.
$100. Thank you.
So I served in the triple deuce for over a decade, and appreciate the legacy and the respect. It's still was strong when I was there. So I'd like an invite when you go next year. That would be awesome.
Absolutely. Brigadier General Sean Fullenbar. Mm-hmm. And
you can still go this year if you want.
So we were all
about 3 weeks.
Yeah. All you need is an airplane.
All you got to need is an airplane ticket.
Yeah, at this point, the airline ticket wouldn't be very cheap.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It sends me an alert every day. It's actually getting cheaper as we get closer.
Yeah, if there's one open.
Thank you very much.
Good party.
Thank you. So as this is a resolution, we put it on action?
It's fine.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Johnny. Mr. O.
I'm number... Thank you. Item number 4, consider change order number 1 to the Coal Creek EWP project.
And Mayor, I'm here to speak on this one. So this is a change order that results from us needing to find a different source for rock that we were planning to use for this Coal Creek project. some of it was not deemed acceptable when it was tested to meet NRCS's standards. So we worked with the contractor to find an alternate source. This alternate source is going to be more expensive to process the rock, and it's much further away, so there'll be a lot more haul cost. So we're estimating 7,000 cubic yards that will need to come from this alternate source, and the additional cost, unit cost to be able to do that is what calculates out to this $210,000 on this contract change order. So that's what the purpose of the $210,000 change order is. We did go through looking at, and you have this in your packets, I believe, mm-hmm. looking at the finances on this. The bottom line of it is that we're not anticipating this resulting in any monetary expenditure for the city. This can be absorbed within what we are contributing to the project as donated riprap material to meet our match. So the additional actual dollars spent will be coming out of the NRCS funds. So I don't know if there are any questions I might be able to answer on this.
No, it's just that one agency doesn't like this product from this agency, and we've been dealing with that on the industrial road project for some months now. I don't have questions. Yeah. Can this go on consent?
I think
so. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Yep. That'll be fine on consent. Item number 5, consider an ordinance amending Cedar City Ordinance 35-13, further restricting the sale of automobiles on public streets.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, and staff. Chief Adams with the Police Department here to follow up on our previous discussion. We went back, and Mr. McCune and I looked at this and tried to come up with something that was appropriate, enforceable, but also take it into consideration some of the requests that you had. And so if I could just go through this, I know you've got this in your packet, but the requested ordinance change basically states it shall be unlawful for the owner or operator of a motor vehicle or trailer to park it or allow it to be parked on any highway, street, or shoulder area for the primary purpose of displaying it for sale. This section shall not apply under the following circumstances. 1, a vehicle may be parked incidental to actual operation and immediate use of the vehicle by the owner. 2, a vehicle or trailer may be displayed on a public street that has a speed limit of 25 miles per hour or less and is directly in front of the residential property in which the person offering the vehicle for sale legally owns or is temporarily visiting. So just maybe touch on that before we go to the penalty. Any questions or concerns with
yes,
that?
Yes, I have a question. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
On 1, I'm assuming that means if I drove my truck or car to work.
Correct.
And went to work, that 1 would cover if I just happen to have a for sale sign in it. I'm incidental to being there anyway, and I just want it to be displayed, right? Is that...
Right. It doesn't give a specific time frame, so
that would be an example, right?
One of my sergeants asked the same question. If I go to Holmes to get my hair cut and I have it displayed for sale, am I okay? And
that would be my interpretation of that, yeah.
Okay. Because if you can park there, certainly you should be able to have a for sale sign in it while you're parked there.
Sure.
I mean, that's, right. Yeah. In my opinion.
I just had 2 questions on 1, under the first definition, D, the actual, I guess, prohibitions of it. We've got motor vehicles and trailer to park. When we say motor vehicle, what is that definition? I mean, are semi-trucks motor vehicles?
Yes.
Okay, so I want to make sure that we are inclusive of...
And that language is actually what is currently in the ordinance now. That hasn't changed.
All right. And then I guess on 2, what do we define as temporarily visiting? What is the definition of temporarily visiting? 1 day, 2 days, 5 days, 12 days?
That's certainly open to interpretation.
Well, I'm turning to my attorney.
And that becomes your issue when we don't define it.
I'm sorry?
That's your issue when we don't define it.
Yeah.
Right. Our current one has a very specific time frame that is quite long and difficult to enforce in that regard.
Now, I don't know that that would be an issue, but I just don't want someone to say, well, I was only temporarily parking there. Yes, but it's been 6.5 months.
Well, that's visiting, so...
Well, visiting the house that they're parked in front of.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But can we also, one other question, do we not need to add owns, comma, rents? So if a person rents a home, they're not allowed to, they have to own the home?
Or if they occupy the...
I would just say occupies adjacent the home. Legally property. Occupies the home.
Mm-hmm.
Offering the vehicle for sale in a property legally occupied, or something like that, because you have to own the home.
I say we usually go more with reside.
Reside. That would be fine. Whatever word you want to use, but I just don't want to discriminate and only allow people who own their homes.
Sure.
To the bank owns them. Have the right to be able to do that.
Tax man.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where we got the temporary visiting one to me. I would just say, or offering the vehicle.
Well, if you don't see it as being a problem, I certainly am not trying to create problems. I just wanted to make sure it didn't come down to legal and somebody was...
Well, I don't even like the word temporary. I would just say visiting a person who resides there. Like, it doesn't say, I don't know what you guys think, but...
It'd be the same scenario as going to Holmes Barbershop if you went there to visit and you parked on the street to go in and see the family and it had a for sale sign in it. That, to me, is kind of the, if you want to have an actual example, that's what it would be to me.
Yeah, I guess to me what I'm saying is adding the word temporary now makes it more complicated. Yeah. I think just visiting would be fine.
Well, that may be the officer's discretion, right? I mean, temporary in us is short term. So if Officer Vasquez goes by a place like that or a home and he says, well, it's been a day and a half, that's no longer temporarily or visit. You're not visiting at that point. So,
but you're residing, which you're also allowed to have it there. So that's why I'm saying I don't know why it makes.
Yeah, if he's in front of a residential home, that may be different than on Main Street, you know, a place that he or she may be visiting.
Can you temporarily visit Canyon View High School for the school play?
But that's not on a street of 25 miles an hour or less.
No, well,
correct.
That's in your incidental operation of your vehicle.
Yeah, so those will always be based on primary intent, which is always going to be, often will be a tough thing for us to prove. If it's next to a normal occupied business that is used and it's there during that business's time.
Yeah. I guess what I'm getting at is, so if, let's say I have a house guest coming over for 3 weeks, it's a long time, but they're coming over for 3 weeks. What's the difference between me having my own vehicle because I reside there or having somebody who's staying with me for 3 weeks?
You could say it's temporary.
But I actually don't like the word temporary. That's what I'm getting at.
My guess is the enforcement of that is going to come from the neighbor calling and complaining, hey, they parked it in front of my house. If you're the one that invited the person, who's calling it in? And so I think we'd probably enforce it exactly the same way. As if you're there as a guest, we're not going to worry about it. And once they're there for more than a month, they're not a guest anyway.
So that's what I'm saying. So why do we even have the whole visiting thing? If you're a guest, you're a guest. Or so why don't we just say... in front of a residential property in which the person resides or any guests or something like that.
So it doesn't seem like to me that we have a problem within our residential neighborhood.
No.
But I think the main problem is on our major thoroughfares.
Yeah. Where you want to have visibility.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. So I wonder if we're going...
Yeah, maybe we're better off just having a no parking zone where... on these as opposed to, or is that going too far the other way?
Maybe just leave it like it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a good question. I can tell you that we have not, to my knowledge, we have not received calls from residents or neighbors in residential areas issue.
The only people who have complained to me, and I've had more complaints in the last week since we started talking about this than we have for a long time. But the only complaints of anybody who talked to me was Canyon View High School,
Cross Hollow Road.
Cross Hollows, and there's one other spot. Up by Walmart.
Yeah, there's a bunch up there.
But there's one other spot, and I can't remember where it was.
The one that we've seen just crop up recently was 600 South and about 1100 West.
Right.
Two or three gathered there.
Yeah, right there by
so
the state.
So in residential areas, I don't think we've had that problem. We haven't had any complaints, it doesn't seem. It's just on these major spots. I think if you mention that most of our residential spots... are 25 miles an hour, except on the street I live on. I'm pretty sure it's 55.
I guess maybe, so. Councilman Riddle, because I'm just thinking this through. So let's say I have a vehicle. I don't drive it anymore because I've purchased another vehicle. So it's going to be sitting for a few weeks or whatever. Number one wouldn't qualify. I couldn't park it out in front of my house because of number one. So number two allows you to park it out in front of your house,
where number one technically wouldn't, because you're not using it, you're not operating it, you're not going to be immediately using it. Number two would allow you to put it out in front of your house. So I don't want people to think, oh, now I can't even park in front of my house because I'm not using it every day.
Yeah.
So yes. So that's why I actually like telling people, yeah, park it in front of your house. I don't care if you
There's other sections that apply for abandoned vehicles.
So I have another question. The enforcement of this, do we have the personnel? I mean, sure. I hate to add another ordinances that we're just not going to enforce.
Me too.
That's just going to create another problem. Is this something that we even really want to go down that road from your perspective in enforcement?
Yeah, so the next section talks about the towing ordinance, and that currently exists. This the second part of this on page two would amend that to allow us to do that with these vehicles. Because that is probably
that's the teeth in it.
Yeah, and that is an easy way for us to enforce that. Now, certainly, once the council passes this, there would be, in my opinion, some time where
a grace period.
Yeah, we would show up. We would call. This is the new law. This is what we can do. Please come pick it up. And most people that we've done that with, both Chief Roden and I, have done that when we're out and about to help code enforcement. We pull up. We see the number. We call, and people are pretty responsive to come move it. So
yeah, because if it's for sale, there'll be a phone number on it.
Yeah, so I think this would be manageable.
So doesn't our regular parking ordinance cover this? Like you can't leave it parked in one area for over 24 hours?
72.
It's three days.
Well, for sale, it's only 12 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what makes it complicated. For sale, you get 12. And that's what I brought up last time. Right?
But you could still park there. See, that's where I'm having the problem, is if I could park there as a citizen and just happen to have a for sale sign in it, what's the difference? There's no difference other than there's a for sale sign in the window. To me, if it's a safety issue, that's one thing, and most of the ones I've gotten have been safety issues because they're parked too close, and they don't have for sale signs in them every time. And so I'm just wondering if we're going down a rabbit hole that is like, well, you can park there, but just don't put a for sale sign in the window. I mean, what?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I mean, people aren't going to normally just park on the road unless it's for sale, unless they're doing some kind of ride share or whatever.
I don't know if that's true, because like on Cross Hollows, the semi-trucks park there all weekend.
Right.
The guys with trailers park there because they can't get them into their house.
Right.
And so if we have a parking problem, we have a parking problem. I don't think it's necessarily connected to the for sale sign in the window.
Those, I would say those specific locations are, because that is the primary purpose. They are parking them there.
Correct. No, I see a lot of them there too.
For sale. And I've even had conversations with people that live across from the Diamond Z when I've asked them to move, and their understanding was, well, I thought this was okay because everybody's doing it. So I brought my car over here specifically to sell it because he's got places to park it at his house.
I guess where I'm at with it too is if we want to build a taxpayer-funded used car lot, there are a lot cheaper ways to do it than curb, gutter, sidewalk, and asphalt. Our master plan, major thoroughfares are extremely expensive to build. We design them way too wide for people to go too fast, supposedly for safety. So if that's the gospel we adhere to, let's keep them clear.
So, Chief, in this situation, would the person get a tow sticker before, or it would just be this ordinance would just read, if it's there posted for sale and it's not one of these, then you just call the tow truck in and they don't get a warning, it's gone.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why we would want to be very deliberate and proactive in getting the message out so that people just know. And once that message is out, then we don't see that happen anymore, is our hope. Yeah. We wouldn't want to just show up the day after this is passed and start towing cars.
The only thing that I think is good about this, it gives you a real clear yes and no response.
Right. It's black
and white. This is allowed, this is not allowed, instead of, well, has it been 12 hours? Or, well, it was there yesterday, but did they take it home?
Did you move
it
10 feet?
That's too hard for you.
Right.
And then we get phone calls, and then we call you, and then it's a problem.
So does this help you enforce it easier is, I guess, back to my original question.
Well, I agree with Councilman Milling, and I agree with a lot that's been said here. But if we start looking at other towns our size who do similar to this, this is very rare that we even allow this at all. I have some individuals who just moved here from a small town outside Seattle. Man, they said, you never see anything like this.
Well, that's a different country.
It is, I know.
California.
I know, they're more liberal. You'd think they'd let them. But this is uncommon.
Correct.
In most areas where we just have something parked on the side of the road that's for sale.
It's pretty uncommon in most of Utah.
Yes.
It is.
Right.
I think California's for sale. We can get somebody.
And again, doesn't stop a person from, if they have a private property owner or a parking lot that they can get permission, then it's
exactly
it's free game at that point. So.
Yep.
Okay. I say we move this to action unless there's any further discussion.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to go on.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much.
Item number six.
Chief, don't leave.
Amend City Ordinance Section 12-2-17. Comma support dash six, comma five dash eight, and 6-2, changing official bonding requirements to crime insurance.
So this is our great, wonderful state legislature, I say sincerely, right? Who decided that bonding was not what they wanted crime insurance, which from their wording made it sound like it was exactly the same thing, although some of the information we're getting from our bond provider is that it might be broader, it might cover all city staff employees. So we're still trying to get the rest of the information on that, including cost. But it's something we don't have a choice on because the legislature told us to. It's effective state statute May 7th, so that'll be next week Wednesday, exactly when you vote on it. This is one of those that I can't say is a good idea or a bad idea, except you have to.
I wish we could tell you how much the insurance policy is going to cost, but we don't know. Morton is efforting to get us a cost. They believe it'll be somewhat similar to our current rates that we pay on the individual bonds, but they acknowledge that it might have a slight increase.
Because currently, who has bonds in the city? Who we bond for?
Renan and
The mayor.
Not anymore.
The one on here that's Treasurer. From Renan's, we're actually striking the word from the titles because you removed the bond from her 4 years ago.
Something Treasurer.
Like so what are the consequences of not doing this?
Do you want me to, as they do want, yeah, we're in violation of state law, and there is a little default that says if they don't otherwise specify a penalty, it's a Class B misdemeanor under state law. So I would discourage us from going down that road.
Well, I was just curious. I mean, are we knee-jerking just when there's really no consequences? That's the question. I mean, there's a lot of state statutes that no one enforces, right?
Right. But this is one of those that, and I mean, if we come back and it's suddenly $1 million, then I guess if you guys want to make that call, go ahead. But
part of the Fiscal Procedures Act.
I'd have to look to see which one they put it in. But basically, we are required, and if they see cities not doing it, then the consequences
so we need to
will
lobby
probably get
a bunch
out.
Of cities to say no.
So what's the fiscal cost of doing this?
That's what we don't know. We will get that to you as soon as we know.
Well, we currently have most of the bonds in place. Like, is there one for all of us? There's one for the mayor currently? Because this is saying that we do have to get those.
I don't think there is any for us.
No. You guys are essentially under the statute, the council may decide that bonding is required.
So these will add, because doesn't it say, said crime insurance shall run, all other elected officials shall have, mayor and recorder have to have it, treasurer has to have it, city manager, all other elected officials, $1,000 each.
Well, what you'll get from this is it'll likely just be broader coverage. We just don't know what that'll do.
Gotcha. It won't cover individuals. It'll cover everybody.
Just cover the whole
umbrella. It'll be an insurance policy rather than a bond.
Gotcha. Okay.
The thing about this is going to affect all 239 cities and towns in the state because it's state law, right?
Yep.
And they're all dealing with the same thing.
As soon as they realize it, that's always the question.
I'm just curious, from your understanding and studying of this, is the crime insurance term, you may have answered this, but the same as bond? Because
not quite.
Okay.
If you literally just Google that title, crime insurance, there are nationwide providers that talk about it. I don't know exactly what one we will be offered, what details it'll have, and we'll provide that to you as well. It is intended to be a tad broader, I think.
It just
including covering if we are victims of fraud, things like that could be broader than I think the bonding might cover.
Its inference is, I just don't like the inference of crime rather than bonding for something. We got crime insurance because there's illegal stuff happening.
But essentially, the bond that we were purchasing, or the bond would have been bonding for if somebody committed a crime.
Correct.
And now this is, they're just calling it what it is. I mean, that's the only type of bond they would require us to get anyways is to cover if somebody committed a crime.
Well, errors and omissions, which is not a...
Well, that's a little bit, yeah.
Right, and that's what we'll have to wait and see, because the title does make it sound like errors and omissions wouldn't count, just by title, but I don't know that what its actual coverage will be.
Well, and then there's negligence and gross negligence, right? And that's the
Well, it's an ordinance anyway, and we're going to have to put on action. So will we have any more information, do you think, by next week?
Do we have the bid, hopefully?
You'll get it when we get it.
Okay, well.
As soon as we get it, we'll give it to you.
All right.
They sounded a bit surprised, too.
Yeah, we've already pushed the insurance company.
All right.
Told them we're on a short timeline.
Mayor, can we put this on action, then?
It'll need to be on action. It's an ordinance.
Thank you.
Item number 7.
Good luck reading all these.
Men's City Ordinances 2-21, 11-I3, 17-... That might be 1-3, 17-18, parentheses H, 17.-20, 23-9, 23-12-A, 25-3, 25-8, 27-22, 27A-8, 27A-11, 33-1, 35-1, 35B-4, 35B-7, 39-1 or I-2, 39-IR1-4, and 39-IR1-5 to correct outdated Utah code references.
I apologize for that. So when I was going through and just checking to see all the amazing changes the legislature made, I figured let's just double check, make sure we don't have outdated references. We had quite a few, including I think some dated back to about 2005 when they changed the DUI code. So most of them are literally just that. And as I indicated in the write-up on this, the decision paper, most of them are literally just number changes. There are a few others that not substantive changes, but more than just numbers of why are we worrying about using a code reference as well as copying the definition, and we're trying to keep updated as the state statute changes. So that's the nuisance one. Weed abatement, the state statute says may instead of shall, and it says certified instead of, I think ours said registered.
Registered.
And then, like I said, like the DUI one, it pulled out like 6 different code sections, and I just said we have never on the prosecution end adopted any of the rest of part 5 as an infraction. So I just listed the whole thing as part 5, which is all your DUI, reckless, open container, all of those. And then the OHV one, I think for purposes of when we were discussing this many years ago, we put all the code sections in parentheses just to make it easier to find. But a lot of them are now outdated, and rather than updating them, I just recommend we remove the references because the state law would already apply regardless of whether we refer to it. The only ones I left were the ones that specifically said refer to state statute. But yeah, none of them are designed to do substantive except for that may and certified. Those are the only substantive ones.
Well, I just have a couple of comments, and I nerded out on this just a little bit because I read them. The question I have is on 27A8 and 27A11, particularly 8. This is under the nuisance section where you've referenced the state code, I believe, but you've removed all the definitions. My concern is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to make this harder for people. If they have been cited for a nuisance, whatever that is, shouldn't we make it as transparent as possible to them what nuisance they have violated? I'm afraid by removing the ordinances, then they have to go to another code to find out what it is that they did. Am I misunderstanding that?
No, and that is your question, is how much work does it take? Now, and again, I think I mentioned it. If you went 20 years ago, quoting from it helped people out a ton because getting to the Utah code was a lot more work. Now, Google Utah code or even Google that code section and Google will take you right to it. The difficulty I have is that a lot of our definitions that we have quoted here have changed. And so that was my question is do we now have to keep up both the number accurately and the wording accurately? Mm-hmm. And we haven't done great. And so I thought it would be smarter to keep it accurate rather than always make it really easy.
So what are you focusing on, the number or the words?
The number is what I went with in that regard rather than the words. So that way, if all they do is change the wording in the state statute, we don't have to amend a thing.
Yeah, I get the ethics code and all that kind of stuff. I understand all that. This is the only one. But if you really think that it's that easy to get to it by Googling that, because I want to make sure that we're transparent in our work here at city government and not hiding things behind
Yeah. No, the goal really is that the state statute already applies. We want to follow the exact same thing. And this is just ease of keeping it updated.
And the other...
And people can find... Oh, sorry.
Pardon?
They can find this online, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you could hyperlink the state code.
Well, they won't let us. If we hyperlink within MuniCode, it causes some issues for them. So they've asked us not to hyperlink to outside sources.
Mm.
But again, literally, if you just highlight over it and right-click in Google, you can actually tell it to search what you just highlighted. Google's that easy.
Then I just have one other question. I'm sorry, I don't remember which one it was, but it was referring to the two advisory boards, which were the RAP boards.
Yes.
Was that just because they were added and amended at a later date? Because we have a lot of advisory boards.
Yes. So
okay.
They just simply referenced subsections that didn't apply to what we were doing. So
okay.
I just modified them
Thank
slightly.
You. That was my only questions. Anyone else have questions?
Nope.
Do you want to put this on?
In an ordinance, it'll be on action.
Can we put it on consent or we have to?
It is an ordinance.
Has to go on action.
Item number 8, amend city ordinance section 17-8C and 17-18D regarding terminology for fireworks.
And this started with that same goal in mind, as just trying to match terminology. We no longer have class A, B, and C. They changed the title and we just didn't stay up with it. Fire department did, but our ordinance did not. And then in talking to our good fire marshal, there was some discussion that maybe the terminology on when we approve public displays of fireworks, that it sounds a little too much like we're ensuring that it's safe. We can't do that. We haven't done that. And so we want to make sure the wording doesn't allow for a dispute that we are.
How do we know that they receive a business license? Because it says they're required to have one.
The fire department takes it from me, the actual license.
The fire department comes, gets the actual license from me and takes it when they inspect the stand.
I see. And they cannot operate until you've okayed it and given them the business license. I just want to make sure we get our payment. Okay.
Yeah, that's correct. So we run on issues a license once we've done. And that is related to the sales that you see in the stands around town. This section is
related to the actual
more about us permitting a show that's outside. We can permit a show that's outside of the legal dates or...
Yeah, like the downtown lighting or
yes.
Canyon View High School's homecoming or
Correct.
Whatever
we,
it is.
We do just a handful Open of these each year. And
summer game.
I didn't like that the ordinance seems to say that we're saying it won't hurt anybody, and they're inherently dangerous, and we can't.
Yeah,
do
you
that,
can't guarantee so. That. Sure, thank you. Great. So this goes on action.
An entire agenda of action items.
I think.
No, we have one. Well,
just one other thing. We just had 4 ordinance changes. Were we supposed to have public hearings for any of those?
No, that's why you will have some coming back likely in June that come under 26 and possibly 32. That do require public hearings, but those have some substantial changes as well coming to you. So we are working on that. We, as in me and Amber and Dawn, are working on those substantive changes just to bring them all at once, and those would require public hearing.
Okay. Mayor, I have a moment of personal privilege, if I could. I neglected something at the beginning of the meeting. May I?
Yeah, please do.
I wanted to personally thank Chief Schertz. On Monday afternoon, our youth city council all had a fantastic tour of the fire department and got to put on all the gear, and they went down the fire pole and learned CPR, and it was just a great experience, and you and your staff were very accommodating, and it was really a highlight. So I just wanted to thank youth city council and fire department for that opportunity, and I forgot to do it at the top, so thank you.
Well, and probably also for... Just while we're on that fire safety week, I was able to come one of the days, and it was a great experience with the kids, and they loved it. And
yeah, so fun. With that, Mayor, I would move that we close this meeting and move into closed session.
Second.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Roll
call. Starting Mr. Phillips.
Aye.
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 Aye.